Blog Talk Radio.
Radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
It always amuses me to hear certain women refer to men as dogs and incorrigible womanizers, but yet many of these same women pursue handsome, popular male celebrities who they know have more than their fair share of options for romantic and or sexual companionship. Similarly, it amuses me to hear certain men pass judgment on women's sexual habits and behavior, referring to many women as bitches, hoes, or sluts, but yet many of these same men go out of their way to pursue women who are hard to get along with or have exhibited some degree of promiscuous behavior. Why is there so much inconsistency and hypocrisy in men and women's behavior when it comes to dating? Why do women say they're looking for a nice guy? Or why do men say they're looking for a good girl to settle down with when they both know deep down they really don't mean it? Why does fame and popularity cause women who would normally avoid casual sex to suddenly exhibit uninhibited behavior and act out of character to indulge in a casual sex-oriented one-night stand or weekend fling with a professional athlete, popular singer or musician, or even a very charismatic, funny stand-up comedian? Are single men and single women just naturally attracted to those members of the opposite sex that they inherently perceive as inaccessible and highly in demand? In other words, are we most attracted to men and women who do the best job of challenging our egos and make us work just a little bit harder to secure their attention and companionship? My guest tonight initially made a name for himself as a nationally known stand-up comic touring many venues across the country, but then in the last year or so, he turned his attention to writing an entertaining memoir of sorts of his most memorable and even frustrating experiences with many of the women he came in contact with while on the road making others laugh for a living. The interesting questions my guest tonight poses to my listening audience are: if God is a man, why wouldn't he have made women very easy to attract and get along with? If God is a man, why are soap operas and chick flicks more popular than more manly shows and movies? If God is a man, why is there so much drama in dating relationships, and why do men have to wear condoms while exchanging orgasms? His entertaining conclusion? God must indeed be a woman. He is the author of the book, God is a Woman, Dating Disasters, and according to my guest for the evening, it's the only way to explain the unpredictable ups and downs of dating. God must be a woman. What man came to this highly amusing conclusion? His name is Ian Coburn, and this evening, Mr. Coburn is about to share many of his humorous thoughts and insights on today's dating scene as he chooses to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this the Alan Roger Curry of Mode 1 fame?
When I made the movie, it was never my intention to bash black women. What it's about is trying to show black women for the first time that some of the contributions to why relationships don't work actually do come from this.
So online dating actually allows you to get to know someone far better than if you met someone for 20 minutes in a bar.
Really? I actually agree with that. I agree with Evan Hall.
We were created to couple up, and I don't care who you are, how successful you think you have it, or how happy of a life you think you would have without a companion. We were created with a longing to couple with someone else.
Only God can judge me, and only God can judge these people. Everyone has the right to live their life, and who am I to judge a person for what they want to do? If it works for you, more power to you. Go ahead.
L.A. is like a meat market.
don't I know?
I don't know what it is, but somebody's looking for something. So fried chicken is black women to me. I mean, it's just a beautiful thing. I even wrote a poem. Just like chicken.
Ms. McDermott, glad to have you here.
Alan, I'm just feeling a lot of love right now. Yeah, you got me all a tingling, so let's talk about it.
702 is up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and Jimmy Jean-Louis.
Hey, what's up, Alan? What's up, Jimmy J?
Hey, how are you?
Jimmy J, somebody knows me.
Oh, my God.
Alan.
No, you know, hey.
You're horrible.
What?
Excuse me, what is your name?
Alan. Alan Roger Curry.
Alan Roger Curry. I thought so. You don't beat around the bush, do you?
No need to. I keep it real. Up front, straightforward.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then how?
Chauffeur, come and take me away, cause I've been standing in this line for like 5 whole days. Me and security ain't getting along, and when I got to the front, they told me all of the tickets were gone. So just take me home where the moon is mellow, and the roses are grown, M&Ms are yellow, and the light bulbs around my mirror don't flicker. Everybody gets a nice autograph picture, one for you and one for your sister, who had to work tonight but is an avid listener. Every song's a favorite song and mics don't feedback. All the reviewers say you need to go and see that. And everybody claps cause everybody is pleased. And then they all take the stage and start performing for me. Like ha 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 ha. Ha 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 ha.
If you are what you say you are, a superstar, then have no fear. The camera's here and the microphones, and they wanna know.
Yo. Mode 1, this is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode 1, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, May 15th. What's happening, chat room? My chat room has joined me. People are steadily streaming in. I see Choco Divine, Dangerously, I Do Radio, Mahogany Diamond Cruiser, 60 Minutes with Glenn, Kerry Love, Adrian, Jarrell, the Dean, Steve the Dean Williams is in the house tonight. You Can Heal Cast, BTR Jason, what's happening? Thank you for joining me on this Thursday night. The question tonight is, who has the upper hand in the dating scene, women or men? Also, we're going to be posing the question to my listeners, is fame, popularity, and celebrity status a psychological aphrodisiac for many women? But before I introduce my guest for the evening, first let me give a quick plug, for next week's show. On Thursday, May 22nd, I will have hip-hop entrepreneur and up-and-coming novelist Deshaun Taylor, whose best-selling book, Kissed by the Devil, landed him a nice feature article in Essence Magazine. So be sure and tune in for that interview. He has actually two books, from Poverty to Power, and he also has Kissed by the Devil. Check it out on BarnesandNoble.com or Amazon.com. And then 3 weeks from tonight, I'll be interviewing a well-known and well-respected professional matchmaker by the name of Julie Furman. Julie Furman, she founded a dating counseling service known as Cupid's Coach, and she will be here on June 5th to share some of her professional expertise with the many singles who tune into my show every Thursday evening. Quick note, I will not have a show 2 weeks from tonight, Thursday, May 29th. That's the Thursday right before Memorial Day. I will not have a show, so you can use that Thursday evening to catch up on some of my past episodes you may have missed. As always, I want to give out my usual kudos and shout-outs. First off, many thanks to the co-founders of Blog Talk Radio, CEO Mr. Alan Levy, Chief Operating Officer Mr. Bob Cherish, the Blog Talk Radio executive staff, which includes but is not limited to Mr. John Sweet, Mr. Luke Armour, Ms. Hillary Lee Wong, my broham and ace confidant Stephen Curry, my cousin Chicago J.P. Jones at the ball in New Jersey, Christopher Curry in Detroit, Alvin Spencer Denver, my boy EVP. We got to hang out last weekend with him and his cuz Hank. Much props to you, bro. Good to see you. Hope your father improves. And I just had a fun time last weekend hanging out in Chicago with you. My Blog Talk Radio Network family, as I mentioned, many of them in the chat room. Dangerous Lee, The Dean TV, Miss Heartbeat, Kerry Love, 60 Minutes with Glenn, Mahogany Diamond, many others on this network. There's a lot of great talk shows on this network. If you're not familiar with the Blog Talk Radio Network, if you haven't checked them out, when you go to homepage, just click every day on air and see what the daily lineup is for that day of great shows. And if you can't catch the show live, there is what's called an archive podcast for each show. That means you can download it to your iTunes, iPod, and anything else, MP3 player. And you can check out anybody's show at any time, when you wake up in the morning, on your lunch hour, right before you go to bed. You don't have to listen to it live. That's the great thing about Blog Talk Radio. Give all props to my listeners in various cities, Los Angeles, Chicago, D.C., Columbus, Ohio, Vegas, Seattle, Indianapolis. If you're a brand new listener to my show, let's say this is your very first time, and you're not familiar with the format of my program, Upfront and Straightforward is normally a 60-minute talk radio program, sometimes we extend it longer, designed for single men and single women 18 years of age and older, and I talk about anything and everything that is directly, indirectly related to enhancing the social lives, love lives, and even sex lives of single men and single women in various cities across the country and even internationally. If you want to find out anything about yours truly, go to the highly popular Google. Just type in A-L-A-N, Alan, R-O-G-E-R, Roger, C-U-R-R-I-E, Curry, Alan Roger Curry. Type in Google if you want to check me out and see what I'm up to. Or you can just type in Mo-1. Everybody was loving my little jingle from last week. Did you hear my little Mo-1 jingle? Yeah, people had fun. Hey, chat room, I'm going to hit the Mo-1 jingle.
Mo-1. Alan Roger Curry.
From up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
That's the Mo-1 jingle. The Mo-1 jingle. Hey, you know what? I've been getting some flack from some listeners. Not in a real serious way, mostly lighthearted, but some listeners have been writing me notes. They say I'm too hard on some of my guests for using profanity and X-rated language. Now, I had a couple listeners write me, and they said stuff like, but Alan, isn't that what Blog Talk Radio is for? I mean, isn't it, you're not supposed to hear mainstream radio on Blog Talk Radio. You're supposed to let your guests get uncensored and raw and unpolitically correct and all that stuff. I say yes and no. See, I tried to have my show appeal to the PG-13 Disney Channel watching listeners, those people who use conservative language So that's why, you know, I don't mind if, you know, a curse word slips out here and there. But, you know, I just can't have gratuitous, harsh language and profanity on my show. I mean, like, look at the Fly Lady. For those of you who don't know, the Fly Lady is like the big kahuna on Blog Talk Radio. Now, if you tune in to the Fly Lady, would you want to hear her say, hey, you bitches and hoes, why don't y'all clean up y'all nasty-ass mother-freaking house? See, y'all be like, oh, my God, the Fly Lady, what is she tripping on? Oh, man, she's, like, going off. See, so you got some shows on here that they let everybody just get X-rated and everything. Again, I don't want it to be totally clean, but if it just gets gratuitous, then speaking of jingles, I got a new little jingle for people who just start going all off and just cursing on my show. Here it go. When I start hearing people cursing, I'm going to play this.
I don't have to swear, curse or juggle. Lyrics in the verse to make a party bubble. So Mr. Censorship, tell me what's your problem? The jelly's on the corner, his wife, he can't solve them. How did she say it? I'm curious, G. Does she say, honey, love me, or baby, baby, fund me? Anyway, we'll say what we want to say. Play how we want to play, feel good that way. So she raps, it's time to kick up first. Do your man a favor, and don't curse.
Okay, yeah, I'm going to let y'all get away with some curse words on here. I ain't no prude or nothing, so don't get it twisted now. Ain't no prude brother talking on the phone, but, you know, I can't have you saying as Eddie Murphy imitated Bill Cosby, all that filth flarn. Hey, man, did y'all check out the NBA game where LeBron James told his mama, sit your ass down? Man, he must got a cool mama, because, boy, if I said that to my late mother, boy, I want to get my ass whooped. See, I said, my ass whooped. I want to get my ass whooped. He publicly told? He said, sit your ass down. Man, come on now. But my brother happened to be at the game, and he got some audio of the stuff we didn't see on TV when LeBron's mother reacted like we all thought she would.
Boy, don't you talk back.
Don't talk back to your mother. Well, what I do?
You got that slap because you with him. And I know you part of whatever badness he's into. You got some staining to do in the morning, Mr. Gentleman. Now you think on that.
Alan, you're stupid.
Y'all know when LeBron got to the crib, his mother was whooping his ass, telling her to sit her ass down in front of millions of people. Man, you know sisters don't play that. John Edwards, everybody knows by now, endorsed Obama. All I got to say is, Hillary, it's over. It's over. And all I have to say, if God is a woman, then she damn sure don't like no Hillary Clinton. And I use that very obvious segue into my introduction for my guest for the evening. My guest tonight is a former stand-up comedian who was born in Canada but now resides in the Lincoln Park area of Chicago. He set the stand-up comedy record for most weeks on the road consecutively, 106 weeks. And he is now both an award-winning screenwriter as well as an up-and-coming book author. His current book is entitled God is a Woman, Dating Disasters, which chronicles both his life on the road as a comic and more specifically his various interactions with the number of women he came in contact with. He's worked with such big names as Drew Carey and Damon Wayans. So on behalf of the Blog Talk Radio Network and Upfront and Straightforward, listeners, give it up for Mr. Ian Coburn. What's up, Mr. Coburn?
Alan, how are you? Hey, I heard your spiel, so I won't open with my three midgets and the housewife joke.
Yeah, man. Don't open with the three midgets and the housewife.
I'll save that for when Obama gets in office. We'll save it for then.
Oh, shoot. Hey, so you hung out with my boy. You know, Damon actually was briefly I don't know if you knew this about me. I actually did stand up for a hot second.
Did you? Where'd you do it at?
I was mainly in Chicago, and I actually, my little claim to fame, I only did it for about a year and a half.
Uh-huh.
And my most notable achievement was in Chicago. I think they stopped it now, but for years they used to have what's called the Miller Lite Chicago Metropolitan Area Stand-Up Comedy Contest.
That probably stopped because it's too long to say. Holy
crap. Yeah, yeah. Well, some people just call it the Miller Lite Contest. The formal name is what I said, but yeah. And a lot of comics got their start from that contest. Like, I won it in 89. Bernie Mac won it in 1990, and a couple other comics won it years later. Not as big name as, say, Bernie. Adele Givens, I don't know if you're familiar with her.
I know the name. So you started, you finished just before I started. I started
yeah, pretty
in 1990.
Much, pretty much, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I did comedy
thanks for,
about,
thanks for leaving an open spot for me. That worked out well.
Yeah, man, comedy was cool, man. You know, you get that rush when you had a crowd just rolling. I mean,
it's a lot of fun. I tell you what, there used to be a couple good clubs in Chicago. I mean, there used to be a bunch out here. Now there's like nothing, but there used to be like the Funny Firm and the Improv and the Laugh Factory, and then they had a couple all black rooms, which was All Jokes Aside and the Comedy Act Theater. Did you ever do anything at those clubs or the Funny Firm or any of those rooms?
I started at the Funny Firm.
Okay.
With Lenny.
Lenny.
You know, Lenny used to have this joke, man, where he played his porno music. Oh, man. Somebody said in the chat room, I'm telling my age. Hey, I'm not 25, but I'm you know, let's just say I've been 29 for about 10 years.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, Lenny, man, he had this opening thing he would do. It's like his stock act where he did this porno music. I'd probably mess it up if I tried to redo it, but it
was
hilarious.
That's where I got the three midgets and the housewife joke from Lenny.
if it's funny, do your three midgets. Hey, let's get to this book, which I've read some of the reviews on your book, and it seemed like about 90% or more of the men who've read it love it. Seemed like it got kind of mixed reviews from the women.
Yeah,
and
I've got a couple of women that didn't care for it that I know of. I think generally the response I've gotten from women is one that men don't expect. And I think it just shows how little so many men know about women. Women are far more sexually explicit and detailed when they have conversations. I mean, if you did comedy, if you ever hung out after the show with the waitresses, the stuff they talked about.
Oh, man, you don't have to tell me. I just got out of a show. I don't know if you've heard of this woman named Zane. She writes all these, like, X-rated black erotica-type books.
Okay.
Man, I was just in that chat room. All they was talking about was see, I'm going to violate my own harsh language rule, but I mean, they were just talking about pussy here.
I won't sing the Mode
here,
One song because I can't sing.
It was just all about masturbation and sex.
Yeah.
And Zane is, yeah, somebody said Zane is off the hook. She's off the chain, bro. Man, so I agree with you. Women can get much, because see, women think we talk a lot, but most guys, I think you'd agree with this. Yeah, when we do our locker room talk, we just say, yeah, I hit that.
Yeah, that's pretty much
that's
she's got
it.
A nice rack,
yeah,
nice
that.
Ass, we're done, that's it. You know, move on. You know, we don't talk about, oh, there's this little mole, and this little, it looked like, you know, it's got this shape. I swear to God, it looked like Hillary Clinton. I mean, you don't, there's none of that stuff going on where they get into all these little details and everything, and I don't need to hear it. And that's just the way they are. So it's funny because I will have guys who will review the book and say they really like it a lot, but they think that they say, well, some women, you know, women probably won't like it because it's, and for the most part, women like it a lot because they get it in a guy's head, and also they appreciate it. It's sincere. That's the difference. The difference between what men talk about, what women talk about when they get sexually explicit is a lot of times the guys aren't being as sincere as the women are. The women will talk about, oh, it looks like this, and this happened, and if you do this, you'll feel good, and all these kinds of things. And see, I can't say it. I still can't say it. But women will, and because it's sincere, they're okay with it. It's as soon as you start getting into some kind of insincerity with it, that's when women get turned off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like trying to pretend that you're interested in them when you're staring at their breasts the whole time and never acknowledging it. That becomes insincere. But if you point out that, you know, that you're staring at their breasts or something, or make a joke about it, sorry, I keep looking down, I can't help it, it's gravity. You know, then, which doesn't seem to be affecting your chest much, by the way. You say a comment like that, it can be considered, you know, a little a little rude, perhaps, but it's honest and it's sincere. And you'd be surprised how often you wouldn't be, but a lot of guys would be surprised how often that works with a woman.
Oh man, I don't know. See, I got to indoctrinate you to my book because mode
I know
one,
you're all about being up straight.
Mode one is all about being up front.
Absolutely.
And that's
upfront,
my main message.
Yep.
My main message, what you just said, is that I tell guys you have more success with women when you just straight up.
Yep.
You know, when you, like you said, when you try to either beat around the bush or you insincere and try to act like you want one thing when you know you want another, women can sense that.
Oh,
women
yeah.
are not stupid. It's an
right.
insult to their intelligence to
they're,
try
they're
to mislead
ahead of
them.
Us all the time. You know, they know what's going on, and they're like they'll dress a certain way to kind of draw us in. I mean, they're ahead of us. They know what they want. They know what's going on. But by the same token, you gotta like you point out, you know, if you're up front and straightforward, you'll be successful. At the same time, you have to look for the right time and notice things. For example, if you see a woman and she's wearing low cut jeans and she's got a thong that's sticking up 3-4 inches out of her pants, that's fair game to go over and comment about it and talk to her about it. But if you know you're in a church and a woman
wearing
a nice
yeah.
dress, okay.
Environment dictates a lot of things. Now let me ask you, Ian, just a real simple question off the bat. How did you come up with the title for your book?
You know, how many livers do you have, Alan?
One.
Yeah.
Don't I have one?
That right there is a proof that God is a woman. If God were a man, we would have like 4 livers. Only one lung, get rid of that extra kidney. What the hell is a spleen? We don't need tonsils, okay? I mean, those things are all in there. That's more. That had to be a female god just going, you know, we need to make this a little more aesthetic, make it look a little better. The one lung is just unbalanced. It's not looking good. They're completely impractical. 3 livers, we'd be able to drink all night much better.
Yeah, man love to put down some liquor now.
There's no way that God is a man. And really what it comes down to is every good stand-up routine, so they tell me, has to have you try and have some kind of theme in it or something you can go back to every now and then. So that's kind of the idea of this book, and really it is a good way to explain why the dating world's so crazy, because women will complain about guys. I mean, and guys will complain about women, but for all the complaining women do about women, no one treats women worse than other women.
Now, you know, that caught my eye in your book, and I generally agree with that, and I'm sure we have some females call in and might challenge that. But,
sure.
Like, one of the things I told somebody when the whole Don Imus controversy came up, Oprah had a show about, you know, people calling women bitches and hoes.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that me and my male friends were saying around that time is that I've heard more women call other women bitches and hoes than I've heard men in my life call women.
I agree. I have not all over the place you'll hear it. I've the cell phones a lot. A lot of people now are on their cell phones on the buses and the L. I know all kinds of things about all kinds of people. You know, I know what's going on, and they've seen a proctologist or whatever. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that I don't want to know that I know what's going on now. But you will hear more guys or more women rather than guys using that kind of language on the cell phone, I've noticed, and they're talking about a third person. You know, that bitch, that whore. You're just, okay,
oh yeah,
wow.
Man, women can be vicious,
yeah,
man.
In front of their kids. Wow,
vicious,
okay.
Man. Now, I found something interesting. You said you did not date at all in high school. Is that not,
oh,
you
I didn't
had,
date
like, girlfriend?
Oh my god, I was voted sweetest guy in high school.
You had the kiss of death title.
You might as well not have a penis. I mean, there is no point. I expected the penis police to just kick my door in one day and just be like, look, we just had an emergency. Some guy was in a car accident. We need you to sign the back of your license, organ donation. You're not using it. Let's be honest. Let's give this guy a break. Let's get the thing some usage. It's just getting gangrene. So I could not get a date. I just didn't know how to talk to women. I was the perpetual nice guy, and it wasn't that women weren't interested. And this is the biggest problem the nice guys have. Again, it's that we're too nice. It's like we were just saying about how being upfront and straightforward with women is effective. The nice guy never does that, and it's a problem because women really do want nice guys. We say, well, women don't really want nice guys. Well, actually, they do. It's just that they never come around to realizing that if they really want a nice guy, they're going to have to step out of the box and make some moves and let the guy know. And they're gonna have to take control of that, at least at the beginning, because nice guys, we would take everything that a woman says as law.
Well, it depends on how you define nice guy. I don't know if I totally agree with that. It depends on your definition, because see, my image of the nice guy goes back to what we were saying earlier. And you said yourself, you said in your book, if I'm not mistaken, that a guy, you don't feel a guy would have success with women if he's always trying to say the right thing. And that's my definition of a nice guy, is a guy who's always trying to say the right thing, always trying to avoid criticism. So I'm not suggesting that women want just a flat out, asshole either. I'm not saying that at all. But I don't think they want quote-unquote nice guy.
For me, the nice guy is the guy who – the best way to define him is he's the guy who always puts the woman he likes on a pedestal. So then he doesn't – he immediately puts her on a pedestal, and then that makes her unattainable. So he's always trying to be real nice to her, do everything she wants. She can play him a little bit if she's not that interested, but she needs someone to do some grocery shopping for her. Like I knew a woman out here, a good example, it's happened just about 2 months ago. A woman is not really that interested in this guy. She would be interested in him if he made some moves and put his cards on the table. She knows he's interested. Like we said, women tend to be ahead of us most of the time. She's ahead of him. She knows he's interested, but he's not doing anything. In the meantime, she goes ahead and she meets some other guys, and things are going along with them and progressing, and they're more aggressive. And she decides that she doesn't want to drive her car down to Indiana to visit her family because she needs an oil change. So what does she do? Now, she doesn't give this guy the time of day usually, but she calls him up and she says, hey, I need to get an oil change in my car. Do you think I could borrow your car to drive down to Indiana? So she uses him. He says yes. She drives his car to Indiana. Not only that, he goes and gets her oil changed over the weekend. She comes back, gets her car back. He's doing this hoping, this means our relationship's going somewhere, but he's never making a move. There is no relationship. It's just she's using him. So to me, that's a nice guy. He puts her – we're defining it a little differently.
Okay. Well, let me ask you, do you think corny pickup lines ever work in a man's favor when he's approaching a woman for the first time?
If she's really interested in him, it can work, but that's about the only time.
Okay. So you think that it can work sometimes
if
the woman has a high degree of interest from the jump?
Right. If she's already that really interested in him or really drunk or something, it can work.
Now, you say in your book you don't believe in lying to women, which I totally back you on that. I don't believe in lying to women, but you contrast it with saying,
but my
you
mom.
Do believe
I can't tell my mom everything that's going on, but no.
You say you do believe in lighthearted exaggerations of the truth. Explain the thinking behind that.
Oh, okay. Well, let me give you an example. Like if you go meet someone and you start talking to them and you would say, let me see, how can I put this in the best terms? Because to me, it's always in the content in the moment. It just pops into your head and you start doing it. I might meet someone, and we might start talking, and she'll say something like, so what do you do? And I say, well, what do you think I do? And, I'm trying to be aloof because that works with women. And she says, well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I said, well, I might get into something and say something. Like one night I told a woman I was a judge. I found out she was an attorney and had just graduated law school and was studying for the bar. So she said, I'm just finished law school, studying for the bar, getting ready to take it. I said, oh, really? You know what? The answer to number three is A. And she says, what? I said, yeah, it is. And trust me, I'm a judge. And she's like, really? Now, as we talked, I told her, well, I was a traffic court judge. And she knows that I'm really not a judge. And we're playing along with this. But I push the envelope further and further and talk about, they start you in traffic court when you're young because, they want to give you experience. We both know it's not true. But there's something about that. It's the flirtatiousness of it. It's we're having a good time. It keeps the conversation going. It keeps her engaged, and it makes me come off as mysterious. Women always say they want mysterious guys, and you hear that a lot. You see it in Maxim magazine or wherever, Ooh, women want mysterious men. I never knew what the hell that was. I heard about it. Every time you read an article on it, it doesn't really tell you what it is. It just says, ooh, yeah, be mysterious because women want you, but it doesn't tell you what it is. All it means is evasive. I figured that out. That's all it means. And well, so that's
my thing with that. I'm sorry to cut you off, but
no, go ahead.
I've had a couple of guests who are all in that being a challenge and being mysterious. My thing, and other people can debate me on this. I don't believe you can try to be a quote unquote challenger, try to be mysterious. I think there's some guys that, depending on what's going on in their life, mainly guys who are just so busy, pursuing their goals and busy with activities, they naturally tend to come off as a challenge and mysterious and enigmatic and et cetera. And I think when guys try too hard to be enigmatic and mysterious, then it to me, it doesn't last.
Yeah, you got to be relaxed, and you have to know when to change gears. And, for example, I tend to flirt and will behave that way. It depends on the woman in the situation, but I tend to try and flirt throughout most of the first date, when I meet someone and then throughout most of the first date. And what I found, again, it keeps them engaged, keeps them interested. When you meet someone right away and you start talking, like let's say I'm a teacher and someone, oh, what do you do? I'm a teacher. What grade? Fourth grade. Oh, the conversation can tend to get dull quickly, and you can lose the interest of the woman. But every good relationship I've had, every long-term relationship I've had, the one common denominator, because all these women come from different backgrounds and have different personalities and different professions, is that I was very flirtatious when we met and evasive, and also on our first date, all the way through the first date. And then after the first date, I mean, I didn't lie about myself. I thought, oh, I have three, they said, what's your family like? Oh, I have two sisters. We could talk a little bit about that. But then when we got to the second date, then it was more honest, more opening up about things, and just giving general specifics about myself and the truth. And the relationships, lasted 2 years, a year, 6 months, whatever. But all my long-term relationships, and long-term for me is over like 5 weeks, they have all started with that flirtatious first date. And when I've got on a date and I haven't been as flirtatious, or I've gotten more into talking about the family or talking about jobs and these types of things, I have found that those relationships tend not to last as long. I tend not to get as many dates. Maybe I don't know, but once I get them engaged and keep them interested, then you can kind of get into those things, and that seems to work much better, in my case. And it's something that everyone can learn to do, but like you said, it can't be forced. And it's going to sound forced your first couple times, if that's the way it's going to happen. I mean, it's like anything else. Practice makes perfect. You have to do it and get out there and practice this kind of stuff. And then once you get good at it, it becomes very natural, and you think of something to say right on the spur of the moment.
Now, I'm going to take a little break, but I'm going to ask you one more question before I go to break. And call, I see a couple calls in my queue. One I know is one of my buddies, but I got to ask you, why should a man always use his own condoms instead of allowing the woman to provide the condoms?
I tell you, at least your first couple times with him and early on in the relationship for the first couple months, absolutely. I cannot tell you, especially when we were touring and doing small towns, a lot of times the women in the small towns are looking to get out of the small town, and they punch holes in condoms. And I had a lot of comedian friends who had little kids. And the woman thinking, oh, I'll get pregnant, and the guy's going to take me away from this town. I have one of my good friends lives here in Chicago who was dating a woman. She had some real self-esteem problems, and she thought, well, I'm afraid I'm going to lose this guy. And she popped a hole in the condom, and she got pregnant. And
wow.
He ended up marrying her, and actually their marriage is – they've been married. They have a couple kids. Their marriage is coming to a harsh end now. It's like 12 years later, but it's been rough all the way through. So – yeah, you want to make sure that you, especially one night stands or anything, you don't know who these people are. I mean, hopefully you're a good judge of character, but you never know, and you don't know what people have, and you don't. Yeah, it's just
so.
You got
in
to take
other
care
words,
of yourself.
Former NBA player Sean Kemp should have had his own condoms, because he had about 8 kids by like 10 different women.
Yeah, I mean, especially someone like that. Absolutely, sure. There's women going, hey, this is. This could be my free ride, my ticket to getting a lot of money, or whoever. I mean, some people even make it up. Didn't a woman make up that her kid was Bill Cosby's daughter or something like that, and somebody else said the same thing with Jordan or something, or I think Jordan was true, but I can't remember. You hear so many of these cases, but yeah, it's just you got to take care of yourself. You got to be smart out there. You can't just be horny. And so, and a lot of guys, you know, they're just so happy to get any action that they lose all train of thought.
Okay, well, I'm going to take a break now. I'm going to come back and take one or two calls. But before I go to break, you know, I got to indoctrinate you, Eon. I got to – my chat room wants to hear you say, Mode 1.
Here you go. You ready?
Yeah.
Mode 1.
Mode 1. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode 1. Getting up front and straightforward.
Mode 1. Alan Roger Curry.
Mode 1.
Oh, my chat room goes crazy when I do that. Hey, y'all, I'll be right back in a couple minutes, get a swig of water, and I'm going to do a quick intermission break. Listeners, don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Available at McClendonReport.com. How to find a good black man. How to find a good black man. How. Available at McClendonReport.com.
Hey, this is Dangerous Lee. When you aren't being upfront and straightforward with my man Alan Roger Curry, you should definitely be keeping it dangerous with me and HP every Friday at 8 p.m. Eastern by listening to Ask Dangerously Live right here on Blog Talk Radio. Simply direct your computer to AskDangerously.com for your weekly dose of danger. And if you can't get enough of me on Friday nights, join me at MySpace.com/Dangerously.
Tune in to Touching Millions, hosted by Nikki Woods and Tanya Sherrell. Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio. Be informed, be empowered, be connected. Together we can change the world one life at a time.
Change a life. Change a life.
Touching Millions is brought to you by A Million Women Strong, an organization designed to inform, empower, and connect women all across the globe. For more information, log on to the website, amillionwomenstrong.com.
Change a life. Change a life.
Touching Millions, Sundays, 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, everybody? This is your radio show host, Nikki Love. And I'm inviting you to come hang out with me on Tuesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, and Sundays from 8 to 10 p.m. Where we debate, we motivate, and we have a good time. Come check out the Nikki Love Show, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/Nikki Love, and that's NICKYLOVE. See you there.
Are you ready for the best morning show with a legal twist? Then tune in every morning to www.blogtalkradio.com/in the know from 8 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. for Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reed. Tune in every morning to ask questions about legal issues, discuss hot topics, and start your day off right. Legal Beat in the Morning with Attorney Anthony Reeves on www.blogtalkradio.com/in the know. It's more than a show. It's an experience.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Hey, if you just tuned in, you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, and his guest for the evening is former stand-up comic and award-winning screenwriter and up-and-coming book author Ian Colburn. He has a best-selling book out by the title of God is a Woman, Dating Disasters. And right before we went to break, you missed him say, Mo One. And my chat room just went crazy when Ian said, Mo One. See, they just love that, Ian, man. You got to get used to my chat room.
Alan Roger Curry.
Good up front, straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
Hey, now, Ian, let me ask you this. I've always heard of the 20-80 rule. This guy in, I think it was Details Magazine, talked about the 20-80 rule. But you actually say it's more so the 10-90 rule, meaning that you think 10% of the men in society will ultimately end up dating and or having sex with 90% of the women in society.
Yeah, you know, I had a friend point that out. I never really thought about that before, and I was out with a friend one night, and he made that statement that like 10% of the guys date 90% of the women. And I started to pay attention, like, yeah, I mean, who knows what the exact numbers are. It might only be 88 and 12%, I don't know. But, yeah, I really believe there's a lot of guys that aren't getting anything and aren't approaching women. And I just read an article here in Chicago the other day about a guy. He says when he goes out to – he says that women need to check their bad attitudes at the door when they go to bars. He says he goes to a bar. And he'll go up to a table of women and, you know, leaving his table of buddies behind and say to a woman, my friend really wants to talk to you. And he'll actually have women say, that is so lame. Just, you know, that's a lame. Just go away. And so he gets upset about this. And there's a lot of guys out there doing that. And his whole article is about how, you know, most of the times he goes out to bars, he notices there's groups of women all standing around and groups of guys all standing around. And a lot of the guys aren't talking to the women. You know, it's just a few guys that really will go and approach women, and what he needs to understand, by the way, is that is not a woman with a bad attitude. Women go out. We need to take a little time and think about things from the opposite sex's perspective. When guys go out, what do? Typically, we throw on jeans, we put on a nice shirt, maybe we put on some nice pants, but for the most part, it doesn't take us that long to get ready. Maybe some cologne, do our hair. That's about it. Women will take an hour to decide with their friends where they're going to go sometimes to try and meet quality guys if they're going out to meet guys. They might buy a new outfit. They might, you know, have to work to swap outfits with a friend, drive somewhere to get an outfit and borrow from a friend, put on makeup, put on earrings, you know, do all this stuff. So when they go out, they've put a lot of effort into getting ready to catch your eye. And you as the guy, they would like to see a little effort on your part and some confidence. So when this guy goes over and says, my friend would like to talk to you, well, okay, your friend's not confident, clearly. He sent you over here, and you're not putting any thought or effort into this. I don't want to talk to you because if I'm talking to you, I'm missing the chance to meet the guy that I really want to meet. So you just understand we need to show some effort, and that's fair. They certainly put a lot of effort into getting our attention.
True. Okay, yeah, we're going to take a couple callers, starting with 253 EVP. Are you just listening, or you got a question?
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah,
I can barely hear
you.
Yeah. I'm gonna get up front, straightforward.
Uh oh. Hey, EVP. We can't hear you. So you like super duper low. I'm gonna try to come back to you in a few minutes. In the meantime, I'm gonna take area code 925. 925. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry, my guest. Ian Colburn, what's your question or comment?
This is Ms. Heartbeat calling.
What's up, Ms. Heartbeat?
What's going on? Ooh, I have a couple of comments. I'm going to try to be quick because I know, you know, I don't want to take up all your time.
Okay, shoot.
One thing, Ian said the thing about the condoms and the poking hole. Do you know my dad told me that exact same thing? And I'm going to tell you, as I went through college, you know, guys would look at me and they would think, you know, they see your family. They see, you know, your physical attractiveness, your intelligence, all the stuff. They would be like, ooh, you'd be a good, you know, I want to have a baby with you. And so, you know, that goes two ways. Don't think it's just, you know, women trying to catch a man. Men will try to get you, too.
So you said men will try to purposely get a woman pregnant.
Heck, yeah. And I know, you know, that almost happened to me. So
I'm poking holes in my condoms right now just listening to your sexy voice.
So, you know, hey, that was my dad told me that. So, you know, I guess if I get with a guy that follows your program, shoot, we have to have two condoms because one for me and one for you.
Double bag it, yeah.
You know? And now the number two thing when Ian said about the guy coming up to the woman asking her, you know, saying something about my friend, that is so tired. Okay, what, are we fifth grade?
Yeah.
Get over it. Don't even, you know, don't even bother. If your friend, who's supposed to be an adult man, is too afraid to come up to a grown woman and say, you know, baby, what's up? I'm trying to get at you. Then you need to sit down and shut up because you're not ready. So, you know, that's why the guy got clowned. It's not because the women have a bad attitude. It's because women are looking for men. And if you are acting like a boy, you need to go to the preschool, McDonald's.
Exactly. So he needs to
somewhere.
Go up to her. With the hole in the condom, show it to her, say, hey, I'm ready.
There you go. Me and you, baby. So, no, it's a good conversation, but those are two comments that I had to make, and I think it's important that, you know, guys especially understand that. Don't send your friend, you know, a boy to do a man's job. Get up off your butt and do it yourself.
Well said.
There you go. Oh. Okay, you guys, talk on.
All right, Miss Heartbeat. Miss Heartbeat.
Talk to you later.
Later.
Bye.
She is a fellow Blog Talk Radio host, has a show on the Blog Talk Radio Network called Sucker Free Dating, How to Avoid the Suckers. 717, what happened to you? I saw 717, you just dropped off a second ago.
Maybe it was a guy saying, hey, I always send my friends over to ask people.
But now, you said you have a lot of interesting quotes in your book. I give you that. It was a very entertaining read.
Thank you.
Yeah, but one thing that caught my eye, you said in your book, and this is going to get some of the women riled up, you say, most women always want to be right and don't confront a woman when she is in the wrong. Elaborate on that a little further.
Oh, I think that puts it very well.
You said no elaboration needed.
Yeah, no, you know what? Like that's where that exaggeration thing comes in that you were talking about. I would find, I would meet a woman, for example, and she would say something like, you probably have a woman in every town, we're making out or something. And she said, you probably have a woman in every town. And wherever you go, you have a woman in every town. And I used to argue against that because it wasn't true. And I would say, no, I'm glad you think I'm this stud that everywhere I go, this women throw themselves at me and I meet women in every town, but it doesn't happen. Oh. They wanted to be so right about that, and they were convinced they were right about it. Trying to convince them that they weren't right always backfired. I'd get a cold shoulder. They'd be gone. They'd be upset. And that's where I started to really learn to exaggerate. I would actually turn it around and say, no, I have three women in every town. In fact, I'm going to need you to introduce me to two of your friends later tonight. And that, for whatever reason, seemed to make them more comfortable. It was like saying, I was telling them they were wrong. But at the same time, I was saying it in such a way that I was saying, well, you're actually right too. But by doing it that way, instead of confronting them, instead of being confrontational about it, that worked much better. And then we'd have a good night. So it's all in the approach and the way you do it. I've had women, you know, that I've been dating say, I know I've gained weight. I look fat. I know I do. And instead of trying to convince them that, no, you're not fat. No, you look good. I wouldn't be with you if you didn't look good. Well, I learned those mistakes early on. You know, you can't do that. I actually go the other way. Again, I get into the exaggeration. I'm sorry, I couldn't hear what you were saying. I was too busy holding on to the sofa to avoid your gravitational pull. Okay. And by doing it that way, instead of – it's not so much that you can't call them on not being right and letting them know. It's the way you do it. You don't want to be confrontational about it usually. You want to find another way to make that statement in a softer way, in a way that, for me, humor works better. That's just me. That's my mold, you know. You have mold one, I have humor. And,
I got you. Well, speaking of humor, another quote you said is that you basically say that in your assessment, the top two greatest non-physical attributes that a man can possess is a high degree of self-confidence and self-assurance and a great sense of humor. Do you ever have anyone who challenges you on that?
I have had few people challenge that. I have had you know, looks, I've had people say, well, looks come up and money is important. But for the most part, if you go out and ask, just go to a bar and ask women, those are the responses that I got. I actually did that for a while. I kind of knew that already, but just when I was writing the book, just to make sure, I went out and I asked a lot of people, and I always got that. Not always in that order, but confidence was usually the number one answer. What do you look for? Number one answer is confidence. I want a guy who's confident, who comes up to me, who is bold, who's assertive. That was the biggest response I got. Humor was up there too. It came in overall second mostly, but every now and then it would come in a third slot or so. But yeah, those were the ones that's you know, the people wanted, and that's what I see. That's what I see the most. So, and it works for me.
Now, what is a Trixie, and why should a man avoid a Trixie?
Oh, the best way to define a Trixie is someone whose friends' opinions mean more to her than her own opinion. That's the best way I can describe it. She's the woman who she goes to the bathroom with her friends to find out if she likes you. So you'll be in a bar one night, and you might be having a great conversation with the woman. Go on for 45 minutes, like, this is great. This is going so well. She's touching me a lot. She's laughing all the right places. Her friends whisk her away to the bathroom. She comes out. It's like she doesn't even know who you are. She goes to a different spot. She doesn't return, even though she just started her drink when she left. You go over, you say something, she's completely ignoring you. That's the Trixie type. That's the, you know, the core of it. There's some other traits too, but that's the big one. And there's nothing wrong with dating a Trixie, with meeting a Trixie. I just discourage people from just when you're going to date someone, you need to realize that you're not just dating her, you're dating her friends too. You know, you're going to have to deal with her friends and their opinions. And if you're okay with that, great. If you're a Trixie, you need to realize that you have more to offer than just your looks, because a lot of times Trixies really are concerned with their looks. They feel that's really all they have to offer for the most part. You know, that's their biggest asset. They're the women, like you were talking earlier about fame and popularity being perhaps an aphrodisiac. Mm-hmm. They're the women that tends to be an aphrodisiac for, because they need to feel oftentimes like they're the most desirable, important woman in the room. And if you are with the most famous guy in the room at that time, you know, the comedian, the most popular guy, whoever it is, the headliner, or, you know, the basketball player, whoever it is, then that validates that feeling and that need. Okay, so you're going to be dealing with that a lot. And if you are that kind of woman, you need to realize that you're the kind of woman that a lot of guys can sleep with and then kick to the curb easily. And I've been one of those guys, because a lot of times we will want you for your body. And we will want you for your looks, because you look good, you dress well, and that's all great. But then we just start to get headaches when we have to worry about what your friends think all the time, or worry that is there one day going to be another guy in the room who's got better stats than I do, you know, a bigger name comedian or a better basketball player or whatever, and I don't. You know, it makes it easier to kick you to the curb. So realize you have more to offer than just your looks. And who you're with, and that kind of stature type thing, and when you start doing that, I think you'll find that you'll have more success in long term relationships if that's what you're looking for, or you could end up a trophy wife, you know, which is cool too. As long as you know, like you said, don't judge people, and I love that, because so much about dating is judging people and relationships. As long as you know, that's what I'm about. It's like, hey, just know what you're getting into. Know when not to put your heart on your sleeve. And know, hey, if you're happy doing that as a Trixie, that's great. Do that. Just realize that you're probably good. If you get married, you'll probably end up being a trophy wife. And that's cool as long as you're good with that. And some women are. But a lot of women aren't and don't realize that that's why it's happening to them.
Well, good, solid advice, Ian. We're running out of time. It was a pleasure having you. Let my listeners know real quickly your website, where they can find you and your book and information about you.
Sure, they can look at godisawoman.net, just godisawoman.net, and I have a column linked to from there too, Lunch is Not a Date, so they can check it all out there.
All right, Mr. Cobain's book, again, is God is a Woman, Dating Disasters. It was a pleasure having him. Join me next week as I interview Deshaun Taylor, book author of Kissed by the Devil. Until then, take it easy, folks. My one!
Yeah. twist of fate.